heart and upon your life. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Page 2016. Hallelujah to the King. Look, chapter 9, starting with verse 24, please. Starting with verse 24. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man who strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one who beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring at it unto subjection, lest that they by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Here in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read other scriptures, it's talking about running the race. Running the race. You know, probably each and every one of us could think back to the time when we got saved. I'm not talking about when you were born, because we have our birthday, but the time that you were spiritually born into the kingdom of God. When you came in and you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, either you might have seen it maybe on TV and you repeated the prayer after the preacher, whoever it was, or maybe it was somebody standing right in front of you that was telling you about Jesus Christ and you felt a conviction upon your heart and life and you knew you had to give your life to Christ and they led you into a sinner's prayer. Maybe you were at a church service, you know, and you came down to the front of the church and you at the altar call of the preacher and you gave your life to him. Maybe you were at a Christian concert and they gave an altar call, or you were at a friend's house, whatever it was. But from that period of time, when you gave your heart and life to him, you entered into a race. Now, when I say race, it doesn't mean that you're racing against someone else in the kingdom of God. But you're running in a race to serve your God, and the ultimate goal is to get to the end of that race. And the end of that race either could be by the time when we die physically and we go on and be with the Lord, or when Jesus will come for us, when the trumpet will sound and he will come and we will instantly be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That is the end of our race. We've made it. We've made it. So we've all been in that race at some point in time. We've all gotten into that race at different times, at different dates. We've all stepped into it, but we all decided to get in that race and serve God with everything within us and not to hold anything back from him. To give him our all, to run the race that has been set before us. To run the race that God has put us in, and not running alone, but having the help of the Holy Spirit to help us in our journey with our God. And whatever he calls us to do, or wherever he wants us to go, whatever he wants to do, but in our journey with him, no matter what. And never to turn our backs on God, but to always pursue him with everything within us, because God has done a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Page 2139. We're in this race to fulfill God's will in our lives, with Him fulfilling our hopes and our dreams. My Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Read verse 2 again. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look at this. Look, let me tell you, it talks about running this race with patience. We're going to see in another verse. Jesus came to the earth. He was God when he came. He was God when he was upon the earth. He was God in the flesh upon the earth. I mean, we know he's God. 100% God, but yet he was 100% man. And his journey was to die upon the cross for us. For us. Not for himself. You know, not for the Godhead. But he died on the cross because it was commanded by the Father for him to do so, so that man could be reconciled back unto God, that there wouldn't have to be the killing of bulls and goats and sheep and all that stuff anymore. That only covered the sins of the people. But finally, having a sinless, perfection, perfect sacrifice, doing what God, his race upon the earth was to die upon the cross. That's what his goal was, because that was set by the Father. Now, we don't have to die on the cross anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. We just got to accept what Jesus did and fulfill what God has us to do in our walk with him upon the earth today. But he fulfilled what God wanted him to do. Praise God. Doing it on our behalf. Becoming the perfect sacrifice, giving of his body, giving of his life, giving of his body to be mangled with stripes upon his back and a crown of thorns placed hard upon his head, with a spear that went through his side, nails through his feet, and nails through his hands. That's how horrible sin is. That's the price that had to be paid. That's the price that had to be paid. Thank God he didn't stop in the middle of it and say, "This is it, I'm not doing it." And he could have. He could have. You know why Jesus did what he did? Number one, because the Father wanted him to. And number two, because of his love for us. Love that we cannot even imagine. Love that looks beyond what we could think of love, what love is. That looks beyond the human capacity of love. That's why he did it. Running the race. But it says this. In verse 1, and I'm going to read it again. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," we know what that is, "and lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us." And God is saying we need to lay down those things. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Wow. So God is saying this. When we stepped in to the race of following him, he says, come into the race with patience. Ooh, people, there's something there. To run with patience. Now look at this. This is the definition of what patience is. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. There's a lot there, people. Patience. It says to run our race. We got born again. We gave our lives to him. We are to run this race, it says, with patience. Run it with patience. You might say, Pastor, I don't have any. Why are you looking at me? Let me start again. We got born again, and we're to run this race with patience. Patience in him. Now, patience is this. Let me get back to it and read it again. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay. We are to run, and that's just the first part. We are to run this race with patience. That we are to able to accept delay. Oh, Lord. How many Christians, and maybe even myself, have gotten maybe mad with God or whatever else because he's delaying the answer or delaying the healing or delaying what we think he should do? We're to run the race with patience, people. Patience. That if there's a delay, don't worry about it. You keep on serving your God no matter what. That we serve him, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, the capacity to accept or tolerate trouble. Trouble will come. Huh? It seems like since we started on this race, we might have more trouble. Because you see, you stepped in, you got out of darkness into light. And the enemy is out there trying to destroy God's people. Even though he's read the book and he knows he's going to be destroyed, he does not believe it. He does not believe that we have authority over him. Even though we can stand up as Christians, as children of the living God, and we command by the word of God that the enemy has to flee in the name of Jesus. And we can believe it and we can stand upon it. And even though he might have to leave, he still doesn't believe it, because he'll come back and try to do whatever he can in bringing trouble to God's people and bringing delay to God's people, no matter what. But you see, we serve a God, and we've gotten into this race that will do what his word says. It may be delay in an answer to prayer. It might be delay in a healing, but we know it's coming. Because the word says so, and we stand upon the word of God, that even in the midst of trouble, that God will see a way out, that he will hold up a standard and stop it. Everything that happens to a child of God, God has to allow it. That our God is in control and not the enemy. My God. Now, we might make mistakes and whatever happens, but God will still be there. Because he doesn't give up on a failure. Ooh, come on now. Now, I'm not saying we look for failure. We don't want to fail, but we will fail. We will fail in what we think. We will fail in what we do sometimes. You know, but we keep serving God. But I tell you what, if you don't give up on God, God will never give up on us as failures.
Amen.
Now, he gives up on quitters. If you quit the race, there's nothing he can do.
Amen.
Except try to keep pulling by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But if we fall And we look back up and we say, Lord, forgive us. And the blood of Jesus comes and cleanses and takes that away. He says, I can use that person again. See, God is continually using. Look, in the kingdom of God, we are a bunch of failures according to the world. But I tell you what, to God, we are precious in His sight. Amen. My God, my God. Look at this. The capacity to accept or tolerate suffering. Oh, my God. Yes, how many of you and I have suffered? We know what suffering is. It's tough sometimes, huh? This Christian walk is not the easiest thing sometimes. It's not. It's not. In our sufferings, things that have happened to probably, you know, we could stand here, I can have y'all come up one by one, and we can go for hours about what has happened to us and things that have we've suffered to go, suffered in and went through. But God has still been faithful, huh? He said, run it with patience. Run it without getting angry. Oh, Lord. I'm not talking about angry against sin or angry against, you know, unholy things. I'm talking about just getting angry with God or angry with the circumstances. We have to run the race with patience. We got to run it with patience without getting angry, mad, you know, just about all kinds of things. And hey, look, God has to help us all, because we all need a lot of help. And that's okay. That's the Holy Spirit's job to work in us and through us. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 5. This might be a little eye-opening to you right here. Page 1998. Romans 15:5, I'm sorry. Look at verse 5. It says this. Now the God of patience, God is the God of patience and consolation, grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. God is a God of patience and He's a God of consolation. Consolation is the comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. Interesting, huh? Wow. We're running the race. We're running the race. God has put us in a race that we are running with Him. We're running with Him. And I say running with Him. You can walk. I mean, I'm not saying you have to run. But just a race with Him. That we are to run it with what? Patience. We are to run it with consolation. Let me read it again. Consolation, the comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. The virtue of patience is endurance, to endure to the end, showing what God can do. God is a God of patience, people. And let me tell you, many people have started the race. I can name, I don't know how many people that aren't in church this morning. And I'm not saying, and not serving God. Because they started the race, and for whatever reasons, in that race, something diverted them. Yes, and they went to the left or to the right, and it diverted them. Instead, because they were running without patience. They were running without consolation, knowing that God would be with them no matter what. No matter what failure, no matter what problem, no matter what things come our way, probably each and every one of us, we can look back to the day that we were spiritually born into the kingdom of God from the time we started, and we can take note and we can see things that have happened to us that has come from the enemy, fiery darts of the enemy that has been thrown at us, that has tried to divert us and tried to destroy us. But I tell you what, we have to rely upon God and Him alone, that He will console us. He said He would. He said we are to do our part in running in patience with Him, knowing that sufferings will come, knowing that things will come against our lives. Physical things will come. that will try to destroy the spirit man on the inside of us, that will try to destroy the faith that we have in our God and what He can and can do in us. I don't want you to mention it, but think of the greatest, how can I put it to make sure, the greatest event that has happened in your life that you thought you were going to be destroyed since you were born again. Oh, I know mine. I thought I was going to be destroyed. I hear her. That's okay. That's good. Leave her be. She's playing. Oh, there she is. Again. Greek of the greatest thing. Or you might say, Pastor, there's more than one. I understand. Remember this, though. In everything that happens, God says consolation, that He would be with us. 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 Not all things are pleasant in the kingdom of God. Not all things are pleasant that we go through. But I tell you what, if we run with patience, saying, okay, Lord, no matter what goes on, patience, Lord God, helping me, helping me. Because we wanna fight back. We want to hit back when things come our way, huh? I mean, you know, I'm not talking about maybe physically, but spiritually, we just want to, you know, just tell that person what we think of them that brought the hurt and the pain and the suffering. I know how it is to be fired. Unjustly. I know how it is. I know how it is. I know how it is to be talked about when it's not true. I know how it is. That's why I can have empathy and mercy and grace to help. I know how it is. One of the hardest times in my life, I remember going, Ms. Murdoch, you remember Jelaine and I went to your house when we were going through the hard time? And I want to tell you what you said. You said, she'd probably say, oh, Lord, what did I say? She said, Joe, God said He'd be your father. You remember that? You see? Because all I wanted to do, and God knew what was in my heart, all I wanted to do was get on the phone, and this is the truth. I mean, everything I say is truth. Emphasis-wise, and talk to my dad, but my dad had passed away. And I just wanted to talk to him and tell him. And I was hoping he'd get up and come and solve the problem a little bit. But just to tell him, and I knew I couldn't because he had passed away. He was gone. So God knew, and I remember saying, wow, Lord, thank you. But look what God has done. Even through, and I'm born again, pastoring, you know, associate pastor, doing everything that I could do. And the enemy comes in by people you trust, and you fall to your knees because you don't know what to do. That's, you still got to get up, though, you see. If we quit, what's going to happen? If we quit on our journey, what's going to happen to us? We got to run the race because there's a prize at the end. You know what the prize is? To be with our Father, to be with Jesus, to be with the Holy Spirit when it's time, because He's roaming the earth constantly. But the prize is when we close our eyes for the last time that we walk into the portals of heaven and we walk in saved by the grace of God, that we didn't turn our back. You see, that's the enemy throws the fiery darts, and the only thing that stops him is God the Holy Spirit. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As we fall on our knees and put our faith and trust in Him and what He did at Calvary's cross, those fiery darts are maybe far when He shoots it, but that by the time He gets to you, it's no more fire upon it because the Spirit of God has detoned it by the word of Almighty God. See, we got to serve Him. And yes, we may fall sometimes to our knees because of things that have happened. But we get up, people. Get up. Get up. Get up. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon your God because He is so good to us. Call upon Him. We're running in this race and we can't give up. We can't stop doing what God wants. He knows what's coming our way. He knows what's going to happen next year or next month or 10 years from now. He knows. We don't know unless He shows us. But we trust Him. We put our faith in Him that no matter what goes on, that we will serve Him. No matter what brings us to our knees, no matter what brings us down, that we still look up a little bit. And He sees that and says, come on, come on. Even when Peter was walking on that water, he got out in faith, he started walking, yet his faith might have swayed a little bit. Yes, his eyes got off of Jesus and got on the problems. But God, in His infinite grace and consolation towards Peter, got to him, pulled him up, and said, come walk with me. He was the only one touched in that water. He was the only one that had the audacity to believe God that he could do it. He was the only one that said, I will do what my commander in chief has told me to do, no matter what. Get out of the little nest we're in of comfort sometimes. And let God do what needs to be done to help you to gain strength from your Father. And let me tell you, Peter walked with the Lord. My God! Can you imagine? Can you imagine? God is with us, people, no matter what. Stay on that path. I hate to think of the day when those eastern skies will open and the trump of God blows and the dead in Christ rise first. In Christ, and we which are alive and remaining that are in Christ will meet Him in the air. I hate to think of the ones that were in Christ, that are not in Christ anymore, as they see the events happening, knowing what's going to come. You might say, Pastor, what do we do? We seek God on their behalf. We ask God to move like we've never seen Him move before. We're asking God to give us patience to help us to run this race. We ask God to move upon these people to bring conviction to their souls, conviction to their lives, and drawing them by the Holy Ghost. We need to serve God with everything within us, people. He deserves a people. After what He did at Calvary's cross, He deserves a people that will be sold out to Him, saying, I will trust You. I will do what You called me to do. We have to trust Him almost, huh? When we walk into the store. My God. But you see, God is God that can make all things possible with us, His people. He's not limited by government. He's not limited by things like that. He's only limited by what we believe. And it's not on His behalf. But He's limited. But if we believe Him for the impossible, He can do it. Romans 8:28. Bring that scripture up. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good to them who are called unto Him according to His work. Run the race with patience, people. Run the race. Don't give up. Look, things will come your way, people. Things will come. things will come. Things will come. Disappointments will be there. We will fail in areas. But I tell you what, get up. Don't stay down. Get up. If you have to just whisper the name of Jesus, whisper that name. Whisper that name. It brings life to God's people. It brings life to society. It brings life to the earth. That name, that is the name above all names, because we need to finish this race. And we want to finish this race that we have done everything we could do to propagate the kingdom of God, and that God's kingdom is better off because we lived and what God has done in us and through us while we were here. Amen. Praise God. Doing all that we can according to the word of the Lord. There was a show I saw years ago. I think I was before I even got saved, but I just remember it. You know, some shows you could see and it's like you forget it. You don't know. You don't even remember if you saw it or not. It was a marathon, and I remember there was a lady running, and I think it was the New York Marathon, which is I don't know how many miles. I'm not sure. You might know Andrew. I don't know. Andrew knows a lot of info, so. It had to be quite a few miles. I mean, anyway, she's running the race. And then she starts to be back in the last part of everybody. I mean, it's like she's just barely walking almost, but yet wanting to finish the line. Not she knows she's not going to win. By the time, you know, she gets maybe to the finish line, they have finished the race in the first place. They give them the trophy, the money, everything else. But she keeps on running. And about a mile or so before getting to the finish line, she's so weak, does not want help, but so weak she starts to fall. Just trying to pull her leg, you know, because she's hurt her leg, falling. But saying, I'll get to the finish line. Not wanting help from anybody. Now, in the kingdom of God, we need help from one another. We need to pull together. She's so late that they start to pick up everything. They forget she's out there. You know, they give out everything. Everybody's going home. But yet she's still on that road trying to run this race. Through her struggles and pain, she sees the finish line and finally crosses over the finish line. In her mind, she's won. In your mind, it does not matter if you're standing up or you're crawling. But I tell you what, you need to set in your mind that you're going to finish this race and never give up. Never give up. It does not matter how we feel. It does not matter what's going on in our bodies. It does not matter what's happening on the outside of our lives. But that we will never give up. That doesn't mean we don't get discouraged maybe a little bit, but we keep our faith and our trust in Him, saying the finish line is coming. The finish line is coming. I will serve God with everything within me. Everything. Run that race with patience and consolation, knowing you doing your part, God will be there with us, people. I wonder how many times I know myself where God has picked me up and said, come on, Joe. It's okay. Come on. He can't pick up a quitter because a quitter says no more. That's it. And just lays there. But he can pick up one that says, I failed, Lord. I mean, I didn't stand for what was right. I didn't do this or whatever it is, whatever. But he can pick up that failure and say, let's go on. Let's go on. Look at David, people. He picked up David. How much worse can you get with David? But yet he was a man that the Spirit of God says was a man after God's own heart. That's tough. To willingly put another woman's husband on the front line to get him killed and have a baby out of wedlock with another man's wife while they were married. I mean, come on now. That's going a little too far, don't you think? We've seen, and probably you've seen all kinds of stuff on the news and everywhere else. 2021 was probably one of the worst years for the church, the body of Christ, in failures. I'm telling you. In the pulpit, the people, especially the pulpits, because that's what we look at, of churches. Small, medium, large churches, all kinds of stuff happening. Remember this, the devil's out there trying to destroy God's people, trying to destroy pastors, trying to destroy people. We do all we can in lifting them up and praying and asking God to move. You might say, well, God couldn't sustain. God can sustain anyone. If he can take care of Daniel in the lion's den, he can take care of anybody. With these lions, I mean, can you imagine sitting in there just petting the lion? You okay? And him just licking you on your face and whatever else was going on. Using them as a pillow, you know. That's what God can do. He can take your enemies and make them not come against you as hard as what they would have or destroy you. He can turn things around. Keep in that race, people. Don't give up. Keep in that race. Don't give up. That doesn't mean you're not startled every once in a while, okay? That doesn't mean you kind of don't want to sometimes take a step back, but don't take it. Just stay where you are and say, Father, I trust you. Father, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I trust you no matter what. No matter what, because he is your Father, and your Father takes care of you as you just trust in him. Trust in him. Amen. You may stand, please.